guest this week is one of the most successful and well-known talk media personalities in both radio and television. He's also made a mark in print, having penned a number of influential syndicated columns over the years and achieving enormous success as a number one New York Times bestselling author with his string of blockbuster books in his ongoing Killing series. His career has been colorful, controversial, and consequential, to say the least. After gaining prominence as an anchor for the mainstream TV networks ABC and CBS, he served as host of the groundbreaking celebrity gossip entertainment industry show Inside Edition, and then evolved into politics and went on to be the top-rated host at Fox News Channel for approximately two decades. Today, his commentaries are heard on news talk radio stations across the nation, syndicated by key networks. And he's in the process of launching a nightly syndicated program called No Spin News, also syndicated by Key. One of the many subjects we'll be discussing on this podcast is his recently concluded four-city history tour with former President Donald Trump. Stick around. This is going to be a good one. Our guest this week is Bill O'Reilly. Welcome to the Michael Harrison Interview, the weekly podcast from Podcast One for media freaks, pop culture aficionados, political junkies, and the philosophically curious. Thank you for downloading this program from Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the Podcast One app, and for following our Tuesday tweets announcing the names of our weekly guests. To sign up, it's at MH Interview. I can be reached directly via email at michael@talkers.com. If you find this show to be of interest and value, please subscribe to it as well as giving it a positive five-star review on Apple Podcasts. Okay, here we go. An uninterrupted conversation with Bill O'Reilly. I can't believe that it's almost a year since I had that fireside chat with you at the Talkers Convention.
Yeah.
Do you find time seems to be going faster and faster these days? It's almost a cliche, but I hear it from everybody, and I'm experiencing it myself.
It depends how busy the person is. So you and I are busy, and therefore our day is structured, and we go from one to the next, and we're not concentrating really on what the time that's passing. We're concentrating on doing what we have to do. And when you're in that zone, time just, the cliche is, flies by, and it does. So when you retire, if you ever do, then your day won't be as cluttered. And then you can, like, walk around and, you know, everything calms down. So when I was in Turks and Caicos last week, I didn't have much work to do, although I always have a little. And it was a slower situation. So I could, like, enjoy, well, it's almost noon and or it's close to dinner time. And you know, I knew that the day was progressing. But today, I got something every second, and I look at the clock and I go, what? It's 3 o'clock already? So it's basically what your schedule is, how busy you are.
True. I mean, I think of the rare times in my life that I've actually had a vacation that wasn't attached to some type of a business trip, like being on a cruise. And all you start thinking about is the next meal.
Yeah, right, right. So that's the big event of the day. And, you know, it slows things down.
Right. But speaking of being busy, I want to sort all of this radio stuff that you've been doing out. I mean, you had the news report that was launched several years ago now, and that's on hundreds of stations. And that evolved into something that was kind of a local phenomenon in New York City at WABC. And that has led now to a national show that's just about to be launched. Can you fill us in on this evolution so everybody gets it straight, the names of these shows and what the radio industry has in store for it in terms of your about to be launched 1 hour evening program in syndication on key networks?
Sure. So when I left Fox News 5 years ago, I immediately started two corporations. And one of them deals with my website, BillO'Reilly.com, which produces a television broadcast called the No Spin News 4 times a week. The other is Straight Talk, Inc., which would cover all my radio enterprises, because we had always had interest on the radio side. You remember the Radio Factor?
Oh, yeah.
I did that for, I think, 7 years under Westwood One. So immediately after I left Fox, the guys who used to work for Westwood One, Dennis Green and a couple of others, got in touch with me and said, you want to dive into radio, which I really didn't want to do in an hourly form. But I said, look, it's always been rattling around in my mind that Paul Harvey's broadcast could be resurrected in a contemporary format. And that's what we did there. So it's the O'Reilly Update. It's on about 300 stations, immensely profitable, sponsorship through the roof, and we do that every day. Then WABC bought that package, and that comes with a morning commentary of 2 minutes, and then it comes with 15 minutes midday. But John Katsimatidis, the new owner of WABC, he's a friend of mine. And he said, look, you know, we'd like your presence a little bit more on WABC. And at that point, they were not doing very well. He had just purchased a station. I think it was for $12 million. I mean, talk about a bargain, my God. And I said, listen, John, I don't want to get back into the Radio Factor game where I'm sitting there for hours. But you might listen to my television broadcast, because you can take that and put it on radio. It's as simple as that. And that's what happened. So they branded the No Spin News on TV, Common Sense on the radio, put it at 9 o'clock, and they have record ratings. They've nobody's ever seen ratings like this at 9 o'clock at night. I knew it would work, because New York, I mean, you got 16 million people in the metro area, and a lot of them are in the car forever. So right. They're punching, you know, those who don't have Sirius are punching, and they find me. And, you know, I'm not a humble guy, but our product, I was just talking about this morning, is so, let's see what word I want to use here, is so much more advanced than most of the other commentary product, both on radio and television, that people notice right away.
When you say advanced, what do you mean?
Well, we don't do ideology. We do problem solving based on facts. And then we do stories that no one else will do, like the collapse of the airline industry. That was our big theme this week. The other corporate media won't do it because the airlines advertise on it. So they're not going to do the story. And we don't do, you know, we hate the Democrats, we hate the Republicans, we don't do any of that. And we bring things in, particularly in the New York market, that the local news doesn't cover and the newspapers don't cover. But they are germane and important to New Yorkers. So this thing has just crazy been successful. So then the offshoot of that in our capitalistic system is, well, if it works in the nation's largest market, we'll roll it out to the other markets. And that's where we are.
Do you think that the owners, and, you know, you talk about John Katsimatidis, he did get a bargain on WABC. Nobody really knew about it. I can't tell you how many people told me if they knew it was available for that, they would have raised the money and gone and paid more. But John Katsimatidis represents an opposite trend in the way things are going. You know, in radio, it's very corporate. There are still these mega consolidated giant corporations own hundreds of stations, and he's doing something with one. Then you mention commercial considerations, not talking about a story because they advertise. Do you think that the mega corporations, as well as the individual owners of radio and all commercial media, have got to push back a little bit more and not be so afraid of the dictates of the advertising world?
Well, I think the media, corporate media situation is on the verge of collapse.
That's a second provocative time you've used that word in this conversation. The airlines are collapsing in the media, and I take you seriously. I'm not diminishing the power of that.
All you got to do is look at the numbers. So the decline in viewership on television news is dramatic, and listenership on the radio is dramatic. Why? Why are people turning away? Well, they have other options with technology. We all know that. But I'll submit that there is a sameness in the presentations that people are bored. And they, you know, if you put on cable news, no matter what network, it's the same thing hour after hour after hour. The corporations, the people who run these agencies, both on TV and radio, they don't want to take any chances. I mean, they want to keep it in the zone where they've always made money. Well, it's a new world now. And we have no fear because we're not run by a corporation anymore. And I can't tell you what a relief that is for my psyche because I worked in a corporate world for 40 years. And now I run my own corporations. I don't have to go to meetings. I don't have to listen to people who don't really know what they're talking about. Now, there are some brilliant people running news operations, both on radio and television across the country. I don't want to demonize the whole thing. But the trend is make as much money as you can. Don't really reinvest. And, you know, try to keep your job as long as you can because there's so much change. And I'll point to the lack of young talent as almost the death knell in both TV and radio news and commentary, because they're not being developed anymore, because people are afraid. They're afraid. You say something, the Twitter people come and they kill you. They blackball you. They slime you. It's almost like you have to have a suit of armor to do commentary anymore, and most people don't want that. So I've been around for a long time. I've taken it. Obviously, everybody knows that. I knew that our enterprises would succeed because we really put in the work. I took five people from Fox when I left. Okay. We have a tremendous infrastructure. I think we got about 60 people working for us now, Michael. I mean, it's a really big operation. And it is making tons of money. Independent radio news is going to make tons of money in the future.
So explain now, because you mentioned that it was the TV show, and then you told John Catsimatidis, you got it right there, put the TV show on. Is the TV show and the radio show that we're discussing, are they the same entity, or are they going to go their own directions now?
The merge is there because there is what I call the story of the day, the story du jour. And so you can do it on television and radio, because people are interested in that story. But it's how you report the story. And number one, I mean, we bring a tremendous discipline to a reportage. So we're, you know, I've been doing this, as I told you, for 40 years. I don't have to retract stories. We had to retract one story when I was doing The Factor. One in 20 years. Because we are trained not to report stuff we don't know and to check everything out three times. So anyway, Catsimatidis is a smart guy. I mean, everybody knows that. He's a tremendously successful business person. And he brought his discipline into radio. And he understood that people in New York want a unique, feisty, keyword, feisty, presentation. And, you know, he built this station. If you look at WABC's numbers, I mean, they're amazing. They're incredible. This it's a rocket because John had the vision to put people on his radio station that New Yorkers want to hear. And I'll submit to you, Michael, and I know this sounds conceited, that there are millions, tens of millions of Americans that want to hear me. And if they can find me on the radio, they're going to listen.
Well, I'm glad you said it. I was about to say that you are a unique property. If we're going to talk about things as product, there's only one place to get Bill O'Reilly, and that is where Bill O'Reilly is. It's not, right. You know, the announcer du jour doing the talking points. And you've explained that very clearly. How have you changed in terms of what's it been now, about 5 years, maybe more? Since you were doing
five years that I left Fox.
Yeah. What kind of an evolution have you gone through in terms of your own psyche? Because we're all so connected to our media platforms and how we think of ourselves as our identity. How has your psyche changed, if it has, in this 5 years?
Well, I took a different approach. I mean, I basically believe that life is not fair. So I start there. Mm-hmm. So our lives are difficult here on Earth. Almost every single human being goes through things that are troubling and unfair. And so once you accept that, then you can say, all right. So you dust yourself off and you basically go in a direction that you feel is worthy. I mean, it's almost a cliche, but that's what you have to do. There is no other choice. And, you know, I consider myself to be very fortunate. I started in Scranton, Pennsylvania in 1976. And I worked my way up to becoming one of the most famous broadcasters in the world. I mean, I consider myself fortunate. So I had more than 20 good years at Fox. We changed the world, the media world there. There's no doubt we did. If I have to do something else, then that's what I'm going to do. But the big relief for me, and I didn't even know this at the time, was that now I can shape my own product without any interference. Now, I didn't have a lot of interference at Fox. I have to tell everybody that they did not intrude on me there. Because we were so fabulously successful, they were making billions, with a B, of dollars off the tentpole that the O'Reilly Factor provided. But, you know, it's just a relief to be able to do the things that I want to do in the way I want to do them. So this is a huge positive for me right now.
What is your view now that you have that distance of time and distance? You do have distance, not just time. You are, as you've described, operating your own platform and your own captain. What is your objective, if you can be objective, or even your subjective assessment of the current cable news talk television wars and situation as a consumer?
Well, what's happened in cable news is that they now segment for a certain audience. And then it used to be, when I was doing it, when we started Fox News in 1996, we tried to get as many people in to watch as possible. It was still a wide, what they call a wide broadcast. We wanted to appeal to everybody. That's gone. So now it's, okay, who do I want to convince to watch me tonight? What tribe? What group? And then I'm going to fashion what I do and say to that crew. Well, I never did that. Not on radio, not on television. I speak from what I believe is best for the country and for the folks. As you know, my slogan is, we're looking out for you. I've always had that. What is best for the majority of the American people? I don't care what ideology you are, and that is where I am still. But the cable news operations and the network news operations, you got to put those together now. There's no difference. None. They are going for a certain group of people who hold a certain belief system. And the others be damned. And that's what we're seeing. When you do that, you risk being repetitive. And that has absolutely happened on all the network news and all the cable news. It's the same thing over and over and over again with very little unique content.
As a former radio programmer, I learned a lesson that I find a lot of the younger ones do not know. And that is, when you do this daily dance of affirmation, that's what I call it, the daily dance of affirmation, telling people what they already believe so they'll like you and feel good, get a rush of dopamine when they hear their ideas coming back at them. When you do that, or in broadcasting terms, when you super serve the core, a base, super serve them, you know, you wind up with a happier core and a smaller core that it doesn't expand. It gets smaller and smaller until you wind up with the most radical people possible and lower ratings. And eventually they turn on you when you try to move beyond them or expand beyond them.
Sure.
That's basically what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I had some cancellations. We are a subscription news service at BillO'Reilly.com. So it's not free. Most podcasts are free. We're not. But we don't charge a lot. I wanted everybody to be able to afford it. But when I reported 2 days after the election of 2020 that there wasn't going to be an overturn of that election, it wasn't going to happen. And I knew that because I have people in the Justice Department. I think I have the best connections in the country. There's nobody, and if you read my new book, Killing the Killers, that will be proven. Nobody gets the information that I get. And I told my audience, it's not going to happen. We had some cancellations. People didn't want to hear it. And what am I supposed to do? But now, the people on cable and network news, all of them, are either told, most of them are told, what to do and how to do it. And CNN is the best example of that. This is what you are going to do, says Jeff Zucker. And they all do it because they want the paycheck. Okay? They do that at Fox. They go, oh, Fox. Fox is much more independent as far as management than CNN was. I mean, whatever Zucker wanted, that's what you did. Fox, not that way even today. They're segmented way more than they were when I was there. And they're going for a much more conservative audience than they used to. And those people are underserved. So they do come in to watch because you can't hear what Fox is telling you anywhere else. You can hear it on the radio, but not on television. So they can still make a lot of money by going after those folks. But, you know, it's more, yes, your ratings will decline as you become narrower in your focus, but you can still make a lot of money in that narrow realm, okay? But the most important thing is that you lose a basic honesty by tailoring everything you say to a certain tribe.
Well, when all the media does that, isn't that ultimately dangerous to the country? It is.
But let me make one more point on the money side, because that's what drives all media, as you know.
Right.
Look at the collapse of late night TV. I mean, those guys can barely get 2 million viewers to watch them, because the traditional Americans, I don't watch these people. Number one, they're not funny. Number two, they're driving an agenda, and that's not what I want on late night TV. I want to be entertained. They're gone. Morning shows, same thing. I used to be able to go on all the morning shows, and they give me 5 minutes to talk about my books. They don't give authors 2 minutes anymore. You don't see that anymore. It's all tabloid. And so the decline is just dramatic. But they can still make money.
When you and I spoke at Hofstra at the convention last June, you were on the verge of beginning the tour with Donald Trump, the history tour. And I understand you had a couple of two or three, I'm not sure exactly how many episodes of it. Four. First of all, I want to congratulate you for getting through that, because I know that working with Trump has to be difficult, whether you're his best buddy or not. But knowing you as I do, sort of as an acquaintance, and having watched you and talked to you several, watched you a lot and talked to you, I know that you do not put up with the kind of compromise that some people who are more concerned about just getting that paycheck are. That being said, what insights do you have about Donald Trump that our listeners could benefit by, having worked so closely with him?
Well, it was a fascinating process. So the history tour with Donald Trump was a tremendous success monetarily. All right. So the president walked away, I think the Washington Post, and I'm not going to verify it because that would be unprofessional, but the Washington Post reported after the four shows were completed that the former president made $1 million a show or something to that effect. Okay. So in the middle of a pandemic, I can tell you this, I can verify this. We sold 35,000 tickets, and the top ticket for the Trump History Show was $7,500.
He's the Floyd Mayweather of politics.
Right. And they sold out in all four venues. So the thing was a fabulous success. All right. But the hate Trump media, and that's 80% of what we have in America, they were invested in saying it was a failure. So the Sun Sentinel in Florida, that was the first show in Fort Lauderdale. They entered the arena. I don't know how they got in and shot empty seats. Well, maybe it was because the Secret Service hadn't allowed anybody in yet. And I told my wife
that's careful scene setting.
Yeah, I mean, is that amazing?
I know that process happens. Yes.
Sentinel? No. Okay. And we brought it to their attention. We absolutely told them, hey, what you people did was blatantly dishonest, and the show was a fabulous success, and they didn't do it. What they put out then got on all the internet left-wing sites. Boom. Okay, and that's how it works. That's what they do. So I had to deal with that. But more importantly, I had a discussion with Donald Trump before we agreed to do these programs, and this tour was overseen by my corporation. So I had to start a third corporation to do the live shows, which I had, Bill O'Reilly Productions. We produced it, not him. And we did that because this was totally different. It was not a rally. And the president and I have known each other for more than 30 years. I think I can speak to him unlike any other human being on the planet. And I basically said, Mr. President, this is history. We don't want to do a rally. We don't want to do the election. We don't want to do litigation. We don't want to do CNN. We are going to do what happened in your administration. And it was fabulous. It was just great. And he cooperated, and everything fell into place. It was a tremendously hard work for my staff and me, but we pulled it off.
Tremendous accomplishment. As I said, he's known to be difficult. That's a very nebulous word.
Yeah, he's different with me, though. If you look at the interviews, if you Google O'Reilly Trump interviews, you know, the classic John McCain interview, the classic Putin's a killer interview, he's different with me. Now, I don't know why. I mean, I never really asked him, but I ask him a question, he answers it. Whereas other people, he kind of once in a while wanders off into the land of Trump.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you would allow him to do that. So, you do know how to conduct an interview. And even though it was a dialogue, you basically were the one driving the direction. So I can imagine he was in a way lucky to have you, because you weren't looking to corner him or ambush him, but you weren't going to let him ambush himself.
Right. And he came across as well. And we know this because we did feedback in the, after the show, we always do that. Did you get your money's worth? Was it worth it? That kind of thing. And he came off unlike, and nobody's ever seen him like that before.
Bill, I wish you the best of luck with this new endeavor, this expansion of your radio footprint.
I just want to say one more thing about that, and I can't thank you enough, by the way, for doing this.
My pleasure.
You've always been a good guy, Michael. I mean, I remember way back to when I was doing an event for you, and Gloria Allred came in and blew it all up. Remember that?
I remember it. You know what the word Spilkus means? I was on Spilkus.
You're so smart. And you really, I know you're getting older and everything, but I just hope you hang in as long as you can. But I just want to say that if these radio people really want to reinvigorate their presentation, there is no better way to do it than the No Spin News, than taking it and putting it on the radio. Late night can be reinvigorated. We did it at WABC. Our numbers are colossal, and you can see them for yourself. All right, nobody's ever seen numbers like this at 9 on the radio on the AM dial. And that can work in every single market in the country.
And there you have it, an uninterrupted conversation with Bill O'Reilly. His new nightly radio talk show is titled No Spin News, and you can learn more about it by visiting BillO'Reilly.com. Thank you for downloading this program from Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the Podcast One app, and for following our Tuesday tweets announcing the names of our weekly guests. To sign up, it's at MH Interview. I can be reached directly via email at michael@talkers.com. If you find this show to be of interest and value, please subscribe to it as well as giving it a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Our producer is Matthew B. Harrison, the Michael Harrison Interview. Thank you for listening.
The Michael Harrison Interview is a production of Good Phone Communications, presented in association with Podcast One and Talkers Magazine. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.